You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today is Friday. Normally on Friday we have a longer show. That will not be the case this evening because it looks like they're going to be wrapping up the paper early. And I just noticed after spending about 25 minutes broadcasting that we had a technical problem that I've had to correct and really start the show again, which I will. Normally on Friday, because it's a long show, if it were a long show, I would have plenty of time to really develop the material. I obviously can't, but I want to summarize two stories that really have some common features, although initially you might not think so. The start of the week, what was in the news? Well, we have the climate change conference in Paris, where the leaders of the world gathered, not really to make firm commitments, but to try to persuade you, the people of the other nations, that man is the cause of climate change, specifically increases in temperature. There's only one problem with that. The science, not the junk government science, but the real science, doesn't show that. Remember, for those that are new to this, and I don't have time to go over what I did Monday and Tuesday, the big alarm, the climate alarmist, would have you believe that temperatures are rising because of man's emitting of carbon dioxide, which is a trace gas. Oh, yes, carbon dioxide levels have gone up. It's over 400 parts per million. That makes it a trace gas. Yes, 400 parts per million. But carbon dioxide is not the major greenhouse gas. No matter what you've been told, it's water vapor. And you see water vapor in the clouds. Is water or water vapor or clouds, are they pollutants? No. Is carbon dioxide a pollutant? No. It's absolutely essential for the growth of plants. And every time you exhale, what are you exhaling? Carbon dioxide. What they're trying to make you believe is man is the cause of climate change. That's never been the case. If you look at the entire history, the 4.55 billion years that the planet has been in existence, climate has been changing throughout the history, the geologic history of planet Earth. Dramatic changes in climate, where human beings simply weren't on the planet. And it was a good thing because we couldn't survive for most of that history. There's a reason man is a rather new species on this planet. And even though today we have over 7 billion humans on the planet, and yes, in every country we're trying to improve the standard of living of everybody. Some nations over the last 200 years or 250 years have done a lot better than other nations. The prime example of that is the United States of America. Whether you look at our total gross domestic product or per capita gross domestic product, the United States is the leader. Oh, there are other nations such as China that now have exceeded our GDP, but they have over a billion people as opposed to the United States, which has about 320 million and produces about 20%, roughly, of the world's output. In other words, GDP, the final good gross domestic product, real gross domestic product, taking into consideration price level changes. And what does a rising standard of living mean? It means people live longer. For much of the history of man, most people didn't live beyond age 30. There are always going to be exceptions, and there was a lot of reasons why they didn't. But as a result of industrialization, advances in medical science, public health, clean water, sanitation, what has happened? The life expectancy of the world's population has dramatically increased, and there's variation from country to country. But accompanying that is a higher and higher standard of living, and the reason certain nations are ahead of others is because they selected free market capitalism. The nations that have fallen behind are those that are or who have chosen socialism and communism. Many of them are turning away from it. Not completely, but they realize to compete globally, what delivers the goods and services that the people want and need? It's free markets, where you have the incentives right. The people that are rewarded are those that produce for consumers, the mass market, and they're rewarded. And that's why you have individuals that are quite wealthy, because they provide the goods and services that large numbers of people want. Oh, yes, there's pollution, but the United States is a good example. We did pass laws and regulations to clean our air, to clean our water, and that was very, very expensive to do. Other nations that simply don't have those resources, such as China, they know that they need energy to produce goods. So they don't spend the money to make sure that the real pollution, and what I'm talking about is particulate matter, sulfur oxides, nitrogen oxides, mercury, that's not cleaned up. And as a result, you'll see pictures of China and other industrialized countries where the air is not clean and the water is not clean either. That's nothing new. If you went to London over 100 years ago when it was largely the fuel used was coal, you would see coal dust in the air. It was just as polluted as China is today. But we have spent the resources in some countries, such as the United States, to really deal with what is truly pollution. But what is not? Carbon dioxide is not pollution, even though the climate alarmists would like to confuse you into thinking that. Carbon dioxide is absolutely essential for plants to grow. And every time you exhale, what goes into the atmosphere? Carbon dioxide. Plants use that and grow and put in the atmosphere oxygen that we use to breathe. Absolutely essential for human life and most animal life on this planet. The problem is you have people that lie, that are interested in power, and want to wreck the American success in producing goods and services. And they know that any industrial nation, what's absolutely essential is affordable electrical power as well as fuel to power vehicles. In other words, energy is a critical resource. And America is blessed with a lot of energy sources from coal, natural gas, oil, nuclear, as well as hydro or water. But one way to wreck the United States economy is to put a prohibitively expensive tax on carbon dioxide emissions. That's what they're trying to do. Why you should be concerned about these climate alarmists is if they get their way, ultimately what happens, you'll be spending a lot more money on what? Electricity and gasoline or diesel for your car. In other words, your electrical bill will go up 2, 3, 4 times. The same with the price of a gasoline, which is roughly $2 in Dallas, going up to $4, $6, $8. That is what the climate alarmists want to do. They are what I call the lying lunatic left. It's no accident that many of those leaders are socialists, communists, social democrats, and in the United States, progressives and liberals. Oh, yes, they want to expand the welfare state, but they want to cripple where wealth, income, and jobs are, namely the private sector, that critically depends on affordable or cheap energy to produce the goods and services that they do. So that was earlier this week. Now, the problem is what I call invincible ignorance. What does that term mean? One way to summarize it is, do not confuse me with the facts. I have made up my mind. In other words, nothing you can say, no evidence you can provide will cause them to even reconsider their position. They're true believers, and they would, if they could, shut up or violate your free amendment rights so you couldn't speak and tell the people what the science really says. You see, the alarmism over rising temperature is due to computer climate models whose projections simply have proven wrong when you compare them with the empirical evidence from satellites as well as weather balloons. Climate has always been changing and will continue to change. The disagreement is not about that. It's about what is causing it. The climate alarmists would make you believe that man is the cause. The fact that there are a number of causes in nature that drive climate change, namely the sun, cosmic rays, volcanoes erupting. There's a long list. The primary driver is the sun and our orbit of the planet around the sun and the inclination of the Earth's axis. That is changing over time. And as a result of those changes, what has happened? The climate has changed, even before man was on the planet. It's not that man does not contribute to climate change. It's just that he's not the most important, or even the way I think of it is, yeah, we're probably having an impact, but it's so small you don't know what it is. Now, I don't have time to go over what I did on Monday and Tuesday show, and that's not my attention here. The problem we have is we have people that don't have open minds. They have closed minds. They won't consider opposing views. They don't want to even hear them. If anything, they want to shut people up that have opposing views. The problem they have is, even though large segments of the television and print media buys into this lie, and it is a lie, you have today the World Wide Web as well as talk radio that at least gets out to you the opposing views based on science, not the junk science of government-funded science based on these climate models, but on people that are experts in the subject. You see, like them, I want to know what's going on, but I don't want people to cheat and lie about what's going on. I want to hear the truth. And the truth is, while we should be concerned about climate, there is very, very little that we can do about it. And trying to limit carbon dioxide emissions is simply a bad idea. It's not going to happen, because the developing nations of China, India, Brazil are going to use the resources that they control to produce energy. And that's exactly what China is doing. They're producing both coal and nuclear power plants, hundreds of them. And yes, because they don't spend the money to eliminate the pollution, the air there is foul. I've seen the pictures. I've heard the people that are over there. But that was the same situation in any town, whether it's in London or in the United States, especially, for example, around steel mills, when we're using coal and didn't have the technology to eliminate that pollutant. But the United States and its people have spent a lot of money over many decades to clean up the air and clean up the water. I'm all for clean water and clean air, but I know that carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. It's simply not. It's essential for plant life, which is in turn essential to our life when we breathe in oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide. We shouldn't be spending trillions of dollars, and we won't be spending trillions of dollars, on trying to limit carbon dioxide emissions. The best thing we can do about climate is adapt. Change your clothing as the season changes. Change the temperature in your home. Either use your heating or air conditioning. That is the responsible response. It is not trying to overthrow or cripple industrialization and production of goods and services by having high prohibitive taxes on those that emit carbon dioxide. You see, the developing nations are not going to change what they're doing. Over time, they will, because pollution, it's hard to ignore. And eventually, as their standard of living rises, they will put in the necessary technologies and spend that money to get rid of the particulate matter, the sulfur dioxide, the nitrogen oxide. Now, I want to link this story to what happened in San Bernardino, because if you followed the news story on the air, what you were finding is the major networks were very, very reluctant to call this a terrorist attack, even though 14 people were killed, 21 were injured, when two shooters broke into a luncheon and used rifles where there were about 80 people gathered and people were killed and seriously wounded. That is not a common occurrence. That is a mass shooting. More than four people were killed. Many suspected, including me, the very first day, that this is probably a terrorist attack. But I wanted to hear what the police, the FBI, and other law enforcement knew. And it took at least 24 to 48 hours for more and more the evidence or the facts to emerge. For several hours, the television networks, even though they knew the name of one of the shooters, would not broadcast that. Even though eventually the two shooters, the police caught up with them, there was a shootout, and both were killed. Now we know that it was a Muslim. And we know it was a terrorist attack, because when they went into the home of these two shooters, a husband and wife with a small baby, they found boxes and boxes of ammunition. Now, in and of itself, that is not critical, in the sense that anyone that likes to go to a firing range every week or every couple of weeks or go hunting, what they normally do is buy ammunition in quantity to save money. So it's not uncommon for people to have thousands of rounds of ammunition, and that's what this couple did. When they were fleeing the scene, they had two rifles and two pistols and a lot of ammunition in the car, thousands of rounds. And they used that ammunition to shoot at the police that were given chase. And the police shot back, and they were both killed. And you've seen pictures of the car shot up its windshield, the side. So there was a shootout. Clearly, crimes were committed. This is not a normal situation. But we knew, based on the name alone and subsequent investigation, that this person, couple, were Muslim. However, it took the FBI until today to call it a terrorist attack. Now, they haven't called it an Islamic attack, terrorist attack. What we have so far is supposedly the woman, the wife of the shooter, posted on a Facebook account that she was pledging loyalty to the head of the Islamic State in Syria, Baghdadi, Abu Baghdadi. I don't know if it was her that posted it. Let's assume it was. I think it's fairly clear that the police knew, the FBI knew, that this was an Islamic couple that had committed a terrorist attack. Now, normally, you put those two words together, it's an Islamic terrorist attack. However, we have in Washington, D.C., what I call Islamic terrorist deniers. They actually make a determination in government that only good Muslims, namely those that don't commit terrorist acts, are truly Muslim. The problem is the Islamic State, they call themselves the Islamic State, note that, as well as the Islamic Republic of Iran, are both Islamic. One is of the majority Sunni sect and the other, the minority, Shia sect. And those two governments, oh yeah, it's a government, folks. They collect taxes. They control territory. They have military forces. They have government. They provide services and control a large areas, both the Islamic State and the Islamic Republic. And yes, they're engaged in terrorism. They believe that there are true believers in Islam, and they're only following the teachings of their prophet Muhammad. And they are. Most Americans, including me, until I got interested in this subject, know little, if anything, about Islam. And I don't pretend to be an expert. Now, before I forget, you need to go to my companion blog if you want to listen to the show. And that's pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you do that, at the very top, you're going to have links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. Now, I want to point out something. You'll see the phrase more, although I'm not seeing it on this post for some reason. Prior to about a couple of weeks ago, you would land on the most current show if you went there. And below the pictures and the links, you'll have my notes, which consist of photographs, cartoons, charts, in this case, a newspaper cover, information articles, YouTube videos, some of the information I looked at in preparing the show. I point this out because there are a number of videos, for example, by Robert Spencer, that give you probably more about Muslim than the Islamic faith than you probably know right now. And I suggest you watch that. I provide you this information as a pointer or reference to additional information if you're interested in the subject. Many of you simply don't have the time, I understand that, or the interest, I understand that. But I try to provide you, if you have an open mind, and encourage you to do your homework. Read, watch, listen. Make up your own mind. Don't let the media, or for that matter, your college professor, if you're going to college, don't think you're getting an unbiased, objective viewpoint. Nobody is unbiased and objective. Everyone has a point of view and an opinion. Some of them are right and some of them are wrong. But you need an open mind. And if you have an open mind, you will come to the conclusion that the Islamic State, as well as the Islamic Republic, even though they hate each other and want to kill each other, and they're at war with each other in Syria and in Iraq. It's a war between the Sunnis and the Shia, where the Sunnis are the majority. About 89 to 90% of Muslims are Sunni, and another 9 to 10% are Shia. They have not gotten along for hundreds of years. And although for many years they tolerate each other, periodically, what breaks out is a religious sectarian civil war where they kill each other. And that's what's happening in Syria as well as Iraq today. You don't want to be there. And I don't want U.S. troops there. I don't. What needs to happen is the Sunnis of Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt need to destroy. That means kill and annihilate the Islamic State. And then they need to train and equip both Syrians and Iraqis that are Sunni to have their own army to defend themselves against the Shia, which are the majority in Iraq. At least two-thirds are Shia in Iraq. However, the Arab Sunnis are in certain parts of Iraq as well as Syria, and the Shia Iraqis are in other parts. Ultimately, what's going to happen is the country is going to be split up between those areas that are majority, overwhelming majority of Shia, and those areas that are predominantly Sunni. And you also have another group, the Kurds, that are a separate ethnic group that are also Sunni. That ultimately should happen. Will it happen? I don't know. But the United States, why does have a role as a leader to try to encourage those Arab Sunnis to destroy the monster that in some instances they've created, That needs to be done because the world will not tolerate the actions of the Islamic State. And most of the victims are Muslim, by the way. They don't like Christians, Jews, infidels, anyone with a religion other than theirs. They want to kill what they call the Crusaders, the Christians and the Jews, the infidels, people of other religions, as well as the apostates. In other words, those that were Muslim that believe in the former Muslim that they believe should be destroyed. But a source of a lot of the terrorism today originates in the Islamic State because what are they about? What do they want? They want a caliphate where Sharia law, which is the religious law of Muslims, is the law of the land. There's no other law. They're just Sharia law. And that's what they want to impose. It's about power, ultimately, where religion is a key part. So despite the fact that Obama does not want to call this a terrorist attack that happened in California, an Islamic terrorist attack, it certainly is. To be fair, George Bush had the same problem. You see, if you're not a terrorist and you're not attacking the United States, in other words, you're a so-called moderate Muslim, you're a good Muslim. You're a true Muslim. The problem is the Muslims know, if they're religious, even though they don't agree what the Islamic State is doing, or for that matter, what the Islamic Republic is doing, they know it reflects their holy book, the Quran. That's the problem. We need, what I'm calling for, is the stopping of this political correctness, which leads to invincible ignorance, where people have made up their mind and do not want to entertain any other evidence that opposes their opinion that they've come to the conclusion. That's not rational, folks. A matter of fact, it's dangerous. It's delusional. You're denying reality, and that's what you're doing. Whether it is in climate, denying the reality that the empirical information does not agree with the computer climate model projections. Not at all. Nor does the fact that these terrorist attacks are very much based on people that believe in Islam and believe what they're doing is justified according to their religious beliefs. You have to first be honest with yourself instead of deceiving yourself. You have to tell the truth, and that's hard when you have people that are pathological liars. I'm talking about the President of the United States, Barack Obama, who has a long history of lying, as well as Hillary Clinton. They won't use the term Islamic terrorist, but that's who these people are. That's what they're about. That doesn't mean the majority of Muslims are terrorists. I didn't say that. We need an honest, frank conversation. What we don't need is the propaganda campaign that's perpetuating and propagating a lie, whether it's the climate alarmists or the political correctness, the refusal to name what these people are about. Until you confront and understand the reality, you're fooling yourself. You're not rational. People can't reason with you because you don't want to hear the evidence. You don't want to hear opposing views. Your mind is closed. That's dangerous, folks, because people die, and they did die this week. Not because of the climate, but because of this terrorist attack that they finally have stamped as a terrorist attack. But not an Islamic terrorist attack. See, that's what should have happened. This is very much Orwellian. Really, it's unbelievably Orwellian. It's what Orwell called, and I have an excellent video, and I'm tempted to play it, but I'm not sure it's going to play because it won't appear. I need to emphasize something. I have a video called Doublethink. And there's some rather graphic language here, but I'm still going to play it. But I'm warning you, it's not a long clip. It's a teacher in a classroom, but it's important because it emphasizes what I emphasize. You got to have an open mind. You got to search for the truth. You got to consider alternative viewpoints. You got to consider the evidence, and that means you're going to have to read. You're going to have to do your own research, and that's what I'm trying to urge you to do. So let me play, but I'm warning you, if you have children, even though this is a class room situation, he uses blunt language. It's nothing you haven't heard, but let me play it.
What does that mean?
To take something in.
Okay, excellent. To absorb. Anyone?
Everywhere, all the time.
So what is ubiquitous assimilation?
Always absorbing everything, everywhere, all the time.
Well done, George.
Yeah.
How are you to imagine anything if the images are always provided for you? Who here read 1984 last year? Good. Anyone? Meredith?
Having two opposing beliefs at once and believing that both are true.
Excellent, Meredith.
Why do you always suck his dick, you fucking kiss ass?
To deliberately believe in lies while knowing they're false. Examples of this in everyday life. Oh, I need to be pretty to be happy. I need surgery to be pretty. I need to be thin, famous, fashionable. Our young men today are being told that women are whores, bitches, things to be screwed, beaten, shit on, and shamed. This is a marketing holocaust. 24 hours a day, for the rest of our lives, the powers that be are hard at work, dumbing us to death. So, to defend ourselves and fight against assimilating this dullness into our thought processes, we must learn to read, to stimulate our own imaginations, to cultivate our own consciousness, our own belief systems. We all need these skills to defend, to preserve our own minds.
I've been given the signal that I have to wrap up the show. And I'll close the show with America the Beautiful and continue this on Monday. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.